Grace, mercy, and peace be to all of us. Today we celebrate the first week of the Advent season and the beginning of the church year. The gospel message we heard a moment ago was of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city with a joyous proclamation. His entry was a wondrously happy event. The entry was but a small part of the preparation needed for the events that would follow, a series of events that forever shaped history. Preparations are not restricted to a Savior entering through the city walls. Advent is a season full of preparing. Christmas is a time of setting up for concerts, recitals, big family meals, and of course the often packed Christmas holidays church services. Many of us go through our own versions of preparations to get ready for the Christmas holiday. We set up Christmas trees and decorate them with lights, fancy ornaments, and perhaps a star on top. We purchase gifts for our loved ones in honor and remembrance of the gifts brought to Jesus by the wise men. We may even put decorations on our lawn of a nativity set or other Christmas cheer. We prepare for the holiday by setting many physical reminders of Christmas all around us. But we're not alone in our preparations. Department stores, malls, and shopping centers all have their own activities to get ready for Christmas. Some set up extravagant trees decorated with colorful balls and tinsel. Others have large wreaths hanging on walls and from ceilings. Santa and snowmen, ice skating and caroling. It's all part of the Christmas celebration. We all have our own way of preparing for Christmas. But God had his own way of preparing as well. He sent the Savior into the world at a specific time of his choosing, to a specific woman with her betrothed, a certain town, in a certain country, at a certain time, to a certain family. There was nothing by chance as to when, where, who, or to whom the coming Savior would arrive in this world. It was not an accident that this all occurred at this particular moment in history. It was not a fleeting response to a nice situation, but a meticulously planned event that was designed to change the history of the world. The coming of the Christ was projected centuries earlier, and all by the knowing hand of God. He had this idea from the very beginning. As early as the book of Genesis, God already had a plan for the future. Our earliest ancestors, Adam and Eve, fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't until this sin that a plan of salvation was needed. After all, the sinless do not need to be saved. It is only the sinner who's been condemned. But as soon as God had man and woman admit to their error, God already had a plan for renewal. Preparations were already being made to save a world full of souls that hadn't even been born yet. Here in the Garden of Eden, God spoke of the coming Savior. He said to the serpent, "I will put an enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The woman spoken of here is Eve. This was not a chance occurrence, but the beginning preparations for the coming Messiah. This earliest of prophecies spoke of an offspring. It spoke of our coming Lord. Preparations began for Jesus, who would come centuries later. The plan was already created and set into motion from the very first sin. But the coming Messiah would not have the same impact to us if he had come immediately in the garden. We needed to learn about ourselves. God saw this and built time into the preparations. The God-fearing Israelites needed to grow before they could receive the Christ. They had to explore their world and explore their faith before the world was ready for Jesus. Although the elements were present in the Garden of Eden, time was a tool that worked towards God's plan. God chose to use this time to proclaim prophecies that would confirm the truth to his people. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were given the pleasure of being able to talk directly with God. They spoke with God not in prayer, but just as I am speaking to you today. Prayer was quite different for them. As time moved forward, talking with God changed as well. God used his prophets to write down the events of the future. God intended to show us his truth by allowing us to compare the prophecies with the actual events. God used time and the prophets as tools. In this way, Scripture validated itself as his plan was revealed. In fact, much of the Old Testament is a story of people not yet ready to receive the Messiah. God chose the time, the place, and the players who would be involved with the Nativity. One of the ways God revealed his plan was through the lineage of Jesus. Repeatedly in the Old Testament, we find references to the house of David and the royal lineage. God spoke to David directly in the book of 2 Samuel when he said, "He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." This conversation was talking about the Messiah who would come in the future. He would be from David's family and would rule on David's throne forever. God fulfilled this through both Joseph and Mary. This lineage was so important that the Gospel of Matthew in the first chapter explains a concise lineage of Jesus, showing how King David was related to Joseph. Luke 1:27 also clearly states that Joseph was of the house of David. But that's not all. In a similar fashion, another genealogy of Jesus appears in Luke chapter 3. This is the line of David on Mary's side of the family. The roots of Jesus were important to validate that he was truly from the royal family of David. Joseph from David's son Nathan, and Mary from David's son Solomon. In this way, the Old Testament prophecy mentioned in 2 Samuel was shown to be true. The throne would not be an earthly one, but it would be eternal. But lineage was not the only preparation made for Jesus. Mary was prepared by the angel Gabriel for the events that were to follow. Imagine, if you will, the events unfolded with a young woman like Mary. She was engaged to be married. Around this point in history, an engagement of this type would normally occur at about the age of 12 and continue for a full year prior to marriage. So Mary was likely somewhere between 13 and 15 years old. By today's standard, we would consider this a girl not yet ready for a family. However, times were different back then. This engagement was normal. However, a 13-year-old, then as today, would probably react in much the same way. How would a 13-year-old young woman react when confronted by the angel Gabriel? Think about it. How would you react if you were confronted with that at her age? At being sent from God in your midst, there he is talking to you, giving you a very important message. An angel sent from God, not by accident, but by design. He's there to prepare you for something big. The message that God sent to Mary was not the only message sent. Joseph also received his own visitor to explain that Mary was still a virgin. God chose to use a supernatural situation to grab the attention of those around the coming Messiah and his earthly family. Everyone understood how babies would be born. Through the union of one man and one woman, a child would come and form inside the mother. Yet Isaiah predicted this would not be so with the coming Savior. In Isaiah 7:14, the prophet wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." It should be so evident that this was something special, that the name of the child would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Obviously, this was not to be a normal pregnancy. However, in Matthew 1:23, we find Isaiah 7:14 being quoted as referring directly to Jesus. He was the Emmanuel and was born of the Virgin Mary. Prophecy fulfilled. The selection of Mary and Joseph for the task of raising Jesus was not a random choice. With both being from the lineage of David, part of the equation was already being present. However, to raise Jesus properly, both parents needed to be faithful servants of God. They had to be willing to take on responsibility of raising Jesus according to the law. Angels appeared to both Joseph and Mary to help prepare them for what was to come. But they would have a challenge on their hands. They would have to flee to Egypt to escape the wrath of Herod. Mary and Joseph were the right people with the right qualifications, with the right outlook towards God at the right time in history. All these factors had to come together at one place and at one time. As we can see, God's plan took preparations for it to come to pass. Adam and Eve would have viewed a Messiah in their lifetime in much different terms. Let's take a look at this with a more modern situation. For example, if a police officer gave you a speeding ticket, then took it back and destroyed it immediately in front of you, you would likely be grateful that the ticket was destroyed. You would be grateful that you did not have a ticket to pay, or perhaps points on your license. However, you would also likely forget that ticket very, very soon. The idea of the speeding ticket is to change how you drive and ensure safe roads. With only a few moments between the ticket being written and the ticket destroyed, it would not likely change your attitude as a driver that the police officer expected. In much the same way, God's plan was designed to change how people behave. Man committed the first sin in the Garden of Eden, but God did not destroy the debt immediately. Instead, he set up a plan to forgive the debt in due time. He set up the preparations right away, but allowed us to learn from the mistake. History in the form of the Old Testament is used even today as a learning tool. God used time to demonstrate his faithfulness while still allowing the Messiah to come into the world to forgive the debt of sin. God's plan required time, but it also required certain elements to come together. It required the lineage of the house of David. It required a virgin ready and able to take on the responsibility as the mother of the Christ. It required a set of parents brought up in the law who could raise Jesus in faith and customs of Israel. All these pieces had to come together in one place and at one time. Through Mary and Joseph, they did. Through them, Jesus entered the world and changed it forever. But we also have a responsibility to prepare for Christmas as well. Although Jesus had already come into this world, we remember his coming every year during the Christmas holiday. It's not just our houses, malls, schools, and churches that need to prepare for the season. It's also our hearts. As Christians, it's our duty to be the example for others to follow during every part of the year, because we understand the importance of a coming Savior. But it is more important during the Christmas season, with all the hustle and bustle of the shopping sprees, sales, and stores filled to capacity with customers. It's our duty to prepare ourselves to be examples for others to see, to change our hearts, and show others what Christmas really means. God used centuries to prepare the world for the coming Messiah. Now, we don't have that kind of time to do that. But we do have the time to share the story of Christmas with those who may have never experienced God's love. We have the time to show God's love in our attitudes and in our actions. A simple greeting of Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, or a smile to those who are lonely or depressed, can often be a better gift for Christmas than any other boxed gift. A simple caring heart can prepare the way for others to enjoy the gifts of the Christ. We have a few weeks to get ready for the Christmas celebration. Just as God prepared his people for the coming of Jesus, we too should strengthen and encourage one another to prepare for the coming holiday. We are here as Christians. We are here to prepare for the celebration of Jesus. We are here to prepare for the blessings of eternal life that Jesus gave to us. By reflecting on the sacrifices made on our behalf, we can ensure repentant hearts, a caring attitude, and perhaps even grateful service to those around us that truly need it. Christmas is truly a time of celebration, but it is also a time that allows us to share our faith with a simple greeting of Merry Christmas. Christ is the reason for the season. As we go through our preparations, as we look forward to the coming Christmas celebration, may we show our friends, our family, our neighbors and co-workers just what it means to share the peace. It took time for God to prepare for a Savior. We have time to prepare others for Christmas. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with all the hustle and bustle of the times, especially as we lead up to Christmas, sometimes we forget to take out the time to go ahead and thank you for so many things. We use Thanksgiving for one time of the year to go ahead and set a day aside to say thank you. But we owe a thank you to you every single day. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us also. Heavenly Father, we know that there are many out there who have never heard this message and need to hear this message. Help us identify who they are and bring your gospel into the world around us. Heavenly Father, help us be Christians in both our actions and in our words. Thank you, Father, for sending your Savior to die on our behalf. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
At this time, I'd like us please to stand and let's go ahead and join the celebration of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified by God, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life of the rest.
Thanks, God, for bringing us.